Gandhari and Dhritarashtra were the mother and the father of Duryodhan and 100 brothers. Duryodhan had, they were 100 in number. Gandhari had 100 sons headed by Duryodhan. And she lost all her sons. And it is very difficult for a mother even to lose one son. And she lost all her sons. So it was very painful for both Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. And after Bhishma Dev left this planet, then Yudhishthira Maharaj considered the situation of his uncle and aunt who already lost their 100 sons. And now that Bhishma Dev died, Bhishma Dev left his body, it must be another great shock, because Bhishma Dev was like the pillar of the Kuru dynasty. He was, although he was not the father of Dhritarashtra and Pandu, but he was more than the father to them. Bhishma Dev was the son of King Shantanu and Ganga. After Bhishma Dev's birth, Ganga left his mother, left his father, took Bhishma Dev to the heavenly planet, because she came from the heavenly planet. So she took Bhishma to the heavenly planet, and there she brought him up. She told Shantanu that she'll bring him back when he grew up, because a child needs mother's care. So that's why she took him with her. And when Bhishma Dev grew up, when he was a young man, after he had a very nice upbringing in the heavenly planet, he was educated by Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods. And he was taught the art of fighting, Dhanurveda, by Parashuram, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Gauri Thai. Bhishma Dev was brought back to Shantanu, his father. And it was natural that Bhishma would become the successor to the throne. He would become the next king. But some unfortunate incidents took place. Shantanu became attracted to a lady, to a young girl, very beautiful young girl. And when he wanted to marry her, her father laid a condition that he would be able to marry only on one condition, that her son would become the king. So Shantanu could not accept that condition because Bhishma was already there. So Shantanu then declined, left. But when Shantanu came back to the palace and Bhishma noticed that he was looking very morose, he was looking very depressed, then he asked. And eventually he found out from the chariot driver, the charioteer, what happened. So he told the charioteer to take him to that place. And Bhishma met the father of this extremely beautiful girl, Saptavati. And when he found out that why, that his father wanted to marry his daughter, and he found out why his father couldn't marry his daughter, because the condition was that her son would become the king, then Bhishma relinquished his right over his kingdom. Said, okay, fine. I will forego my right over the kingdom and your son, your daughter's son, will become the king. And so, but the father of this girl, he was an intelligent person, quite a wise person. So he said, okay, now you may relinquish your right over the kingdom, but what about your children? They will claim their right over the kingdom, and then there will be a fight. So then Bhishma said, okay, then I'll not get married. So, what a wonderful sacrifice. Now that is why the Vedic culture is so rich. Vedic culture is such an ideal culture. Because what Vedic culture teaches, the Vedic culture actually teaches one how to become an ideal man. It teaches a man to become an ideal man, and it teaches a woman to become an ideal woman. The Vedic culture is the perfect culture for the human society. If we follow the Vedic culture, the society will become perfect. If we follow the Vedic culture, individually our lives will become perfect. And what is ultimately Vedic culture is actually teaching. Vedic culture is teaching that we have nothing to gain in this material nature. Material nature is only a temporary place. Material nature is like a school. Does one consider the school to be his home? Does anybody, all of you have gone to school at some point in time. You have gone to schools, college, universities, the places of learning. Even though you, sometimes one lives in a college, in a dorm, in a hostel, or in the university. But does anybody think that that is the place, that is his home? No. He goes there, he knows that's a place of learning, and then he comes out of that place and comes home and leads his life. Similarly, Vedic culture actually teaches us that this material nature is like a school. And here we must learn to prepare ourselves to have a proper life. And where is our life? Where is our home? Back home, back to God. Our real home is the spiritual sky. We have come here to study something. What do we learn in this material nature? How to become a devotee of Krishna. The purpose of our existence in the material nature is simply to become a devotee of Krishna. We get the training here, how to become a devotee of Krishna. And then when you go back to Godhead, what do we do there? We practice that devotion. There it's a practical application. We live our life with Krishna in the spiritual sky. So Vedic culture actually teaches us this material nature is a school where we are learning. And where, as I mentioned many a times before, what is the test? You know, when you are in a school, then you have to sit for an exams. Right? So what is the time for examination? At the time of death. At the time of death, we have to write our exams. And now we are preparing. When you are alive, we are preparing ourselves. Now in a school, what does the teacher do? The teacher teaches. And the teacher's business is to become heavy. Teacher is heavy. Therefore the teacher's name is Guru. Guru means, what's the word Guru mean? Guru means heavy. Loghu means light and Guru means heavy. Loghu, Guru. Right? So, here who am I? I'm a teacher. So should I be light or should I be heavy?
Heavy.
So do you mind if I'm heavy?
No.
Sure?
Yes.
Sir. Okay. It's not that I'm always heavy. Am I always heavy?
Or? No, Guru.
Sometimes I am. I think I am nice too. Actually, this is my business. I have to train you to become pure devotees. My only business is to make you all into devotees. Not only devotees, pure devotees. Pure devotee means 100% for Krishna. And nothing for ourselves. That is the meaning of pure devotee. 100%. That means no impurity. Pure means no impurity. Right? Sometimes we say 50% pure, 60% pure, 90% pure, 99% pure. Like gold. You get 99.9% pure. But still it is considered to be impure. What is the pure gold? 24 carats. That's pure gold. 24 carats. 23.5%, they'll say it's not pure gold. It's 23.5%. 23.5 carats. So our business is to become 100% pure. And 100% pure means, what is the impurity? Impurity is aham mameti, me and mine. Me and mine. Me means body and mine means relation to body. But when he becomes situated in a spiritual identity, then what? Me is a devotee of Krishna. Me is a servant of Krishna and my business is to just serve Krishna. That is the meaning of a pure devotee. No more material contamination. Not even an iota of material contamination. 100% for Krishna. And that's what ISKCON is for. 100% for Krishna. And the process is very simple. The process is very simple. The process is that whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. Whatever you have, consider that that is for Krishna and must be engaged in Krishna service. And accept everything as Krishna prasad. Now when you accept things as Krishna's mercy, Krishna's prasad, do you lose anything? Do you miss anything? We can have everything. We can have everything. But the consciousness is, it's for Krishna. It is Krishna's. It has been, must be used in Krishna's service. And then after it has been applied in Krishna's service, it can be engaged. We can receive according to our need as Krishna's prasad. Like we have, if we have tons of food, we prepare that and offer it to Krishna. Krishna can eat tons of food. But at the same time, after eating, what does Krishna do? Krishna gives it back. Now if you have tons of food, what will you do? Can you eat one ton of food? And it has been cooked already. So if it is not served, it will go bad. Now, raw food you can keep in the warehouse. But after it has been offered to Krishna, you can't keep it in your warehouse. So what do you have to do? You give it out to everybody. If we do that, then will there be any starvation? Will there be any hunger? No. So in this way, by offering everything to Krishna, we solve all the problems individually and collectively. So whatever we like to do, we can do that. But we can do it for Krishna. And after offering to Krishna, we get the result. We get it as the remnants of Krishna. Like for example, we are building a temple. Whose temple we are building? So when Krishna's temple is built, it will look very nice, it's very grand, and it will be very wonderful. And then we can live there. Krishna's temple is like a palace. Everybody likes to live in a palace. And yes, we also can live in a palace. We also can live in a palace. But we live in Krishna's palace. In this way, our consciousness becomes purified. So, it is very simple actually to become a pure devotee. Is it difficult to become a pure devotee? Yes, it will be difficult as long as we have our material motivation. But if we offer everything to Krishna, then it's not at all difficult. And another thing is, Krishna is real. Krishna is real. Or is Krishna our imagination? Or is it that we are just doing things and Krishna is completely unconcerned? Is it that? That whatever we are doing, Krishna doesn't care. Is it so? No, whatever you are doing, Krishna is seeing us. So when you do something for Krishna, how does Krishna feel? Okay, consider, you have a servant. Someone is serving you very nicely. How do you feel? How do you feel? Like say for example, Vijayananda likes to make sweets. Now if somebody comes and helps Vijayananda in making sweets, how will you feel, Vijayananda? How will you feel? You will? You'll feel fine. Okay, you'll feel happy. And how will you feel towards that person? Shammohan, you are taking care of the construction of the temple. Now, someone is helping you. Gauravani is helping you. How do you feel towards Gauravani? You feel very happy. You have a nice relationship with Gauravani. Right? Similarly, Vivek is helping you. You feel nice. And now, how do you feel? Like if there is some more responsibility, you will think, okay, Gauravani is a good man. So give Gauravani some responsibility. So same way Ganga Narayan also feels, those who are helping, those who are doing nicely, he feels good about them. And if there is some responsibility, Ganga Narayan says, yes, let us send him for that work, some responsible work. Right? And somebody who doesn't, who is not responsible, who is not really serving so nicely, one doesn't feel like giving him any responsibility. Isn't it? Isn't it natural? Punit, isn't it? If somebody does something nicely, you feel like giving him the responsibility. If somebody is not reliable, you say, okay, no. Don't give him responsibility. Right? So Krishna is watching us. And when Krishna is seeing that someone is very responsible in his service, then what will Krishna do? Krishna will say, give him some, I'll give him some bigger responsibility. Then he executes that responsibility very nicely. Then what Krishna feels? I'll give him some more responsibility. And along with the responsibility comes facility and position. Isn't it? Along with responsibility comes facility. Krishna is seeing that someone is serving me very nicely. Then Krishna will tell Lakshmi Devi, okay, make sure that he has everything that he needs. Right? And Lakshmi Devi will say, yes, Prabhu. So, this is how a devotee gets the facility. Like devotee wants to serve Krishna, and Krishna provides with all the requirements for the devotee. And along with that comes the position. Krishna says, okay, now you are engaging 50 devotees. Now I'll give you a bigger responsibility where you'll be taking care of 500 devotees. You'll be engaging 500 devotees in my service. Then Krishna sees that you have executed that responsibility very nicely. Then what will Krishna say? I'll give you a responsibility where you will be engaging 5,000 devotees, 50,000 devotees, 5 million devotees. And in this way, as we serve the facilities and responsibilities and position increase. It is not that a devotee wants position. He wants to serve. But his area of service, his facilities for service increases according to his sincerity. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithari Ki. So, that's why devotional service is so wonderful. And that's why, more we render service, more we become purified. Because we see, well, it's so wonderful to serve Krishna. So let me serve Krishna even more. It is so wonderful to offer to Krishna. Let me offer even more and more and more. And in this way, finally, we offer 100%. That is the state of pure devotional service. So you have come to the right place. You have come to the right place. ISKCON is the perfect platform for becoming pure devotee. ISKCON is the best school to become pure devotee. ISKCON is the best institution that teaches how to become a pure devotee. Now, it is up to us to take advantage. Srila Prabhupada has given the perfect arrangement. Like, if we come to this institution and take advantage of the facilities, then what will happen? We'll get more and more opportunities. We'll get better and better facilities to become pure devotees. Like for example, day before yesterday I received an email from one devotee who is an American. He is learning to become a pilot. Many of you probably know. You know Radha Vinod from London? Radha Vinod's son, Ramin. And he mentioned that the school that he went to learn, it is expensive, but when he completes the course, he'll immediately get a job. Because the institution is so prestigious that when someone comes out of the university, that institution, flying training institution, he immediately gets a job as a pilot. Why? Because the institution's reputation. Similarly, ISKCON is an institution which has such a wonderful reputation that immediately Krishna will say, okay, now whoever comes out of this institution immediately has a job for me in the spiritual sky. Because he has been trained Because ISKCON devotee means perfect training. Srila Prabhupada is a perfect teacher. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has created the institution where one will get the perfect training. And along with the training comes facility. Like, you serve in ISKCON, you get trained in ISKCON, there will be so much facility. Srila Prabhupada has created this facility. Like, I can just give you an example. What kind of facility Srila Prabhupada created. Last year, we came here, and then we decided to build a temple. Now, to build a temple, it takes a lot of money, right? So, we have our contacts all over the world. I went, I had some meetings with some devotees who were close and those who were influential. And I told them, I want to build a temple, and this is my plan. I had a half an hour meeting. In a half an hour meeting with six people. And they just gave me the clearance. Yes, Maharaj, go ahead. And there they pledged $500,000. $500,000 means about 2.5 crores of rupees. That's why I could embark on this. Now, how could I do that? Because Srila Prabhupada has created that arrangement. Because I'm from ISKCON. Had I not been in ISKCON, then I wouldn't have known them and they wouldn't have any confidence in me. But they know that it is this mission, this society, this institution is very important. And it is real, it is genuine. So this is how the facilities are there, created by Srila Prabhupada. Anything we want to do, the facilities are there. We can have access all over the world. Like now we are negotiating with UDA, Ujjain Development Authority, they have a project to set up an IT park. IT park, you know what an IT park is? Information Technology Park. The place, they call it park, just like as they say, Internet Cafe. They have a special expression, this IT industry. So it's not an office or a trade center or thing. It is an IT park. They call it that. So we are... So they have a place which is just next to our temple in Mahashweta. And it's about 10 acres of land. So they had a plan to build an IT park. But they felt, UDA felt, that they can't execute it. They can't do it. They can build the temple, build the building, build the structure, the office. But they won't be able to utilize that facility properly. So they came, the UDA CEO, along with the chief engineers, came to me the other day, and we had 2-3 meetings, and the consideration was that they told us frankly, Maharaj, if you take it, then only it will happen. So, I said, okay. And yeah, I know. Because Dainik Bhaskar phoned me yesterday. That's why I'm also saying it now. Otherwise I wouldn't have said it. Because I know everybody will get to know about it. So yesterday they had their top level meeting. And in that meeting they decided that they'll give it to ISKCON. They're giving us 10 acres of land to build an IT park and create an IT, develop the IT industry in Ujjain. Now, Ujjain authorities, local authorities cannot do it. But why did I plunge into it? I said, okay, I'll do it. Why? Because I know I have contacts all over the world. If I set up something, it will happen. And so this is how we are fortunate to be a part of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada has created the facilities, and the facilities that I am able to utilize, you all also can utilize. Because you all are the part of the institution. There is no difference between you and me. We all are a member of this institution. But the difference is how much you want to do and how much others are willing to do. That is where the difference is. Prabhupada once gave the example, like, the sky is unlimited. Sky is unlimited, but the bird flies according to its ability. The sky is unlimited, but a sparrow will fly only according to his ability. A pigeon will fly according to his ability. An eagle will fly according to his ability. And Garuda will fly according to his ability. So different, according to one's ability, one will take advantage. It is not that we have to get into any kind of competition. No, we don't need to get into any competition, or we should not become envious. We should rather feel that, well, he has the ability to fly higher, so he's flying. If I can develop that ability, then I also can fly higher, even higher than him. So it's up to us how much we want to do for Krishna. There is no limit to what we can do for Krishna, because Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. So that is how we have to see it. That is how we have to utilize the facilities, the good fortune that Srila Prabhupada created for us. There are so many other spiritual institutions, but why they are not able to do what we are able to do? Because of the special feature of our institution that Srila Prabhupada created. So we must take full advantage of this facility. Anyway, I got a little deviated from the class. Maybe tomorrow is the last verse, so tomorrow we'll cover both the verses in tomorrow's class. So I'll end now. Does anybody have any question? Anyway, so I'll remember the question tomorrow. I will answer the question tomorrow. Today we are not dealing with that. Tomorrow we'll get into that. And anyway, the basic point I'll say is that, you see, in the material nature we can lead our life. It's not that we have to, everybody has to become a hermit and go to the forest. Right? A king can live his life like a king. But the underlying understanding is always there, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our business is to surrender unto Him. So they live their life, but when the time comes, Krishna, I am your eternal servant. So that's why it's a matter of training. You're living your life, but at the same time you're getting the training. How to become surrendered. So if somebody has an attraction for a beautiful girl, fine, go ahead. But remember that you are, after all, you are a Krishna, servant of Krishna. If you want to get married, you can get married. Not that I'm telling you to get married. But if somebody wants to get married, he can get married. But lead a life based on dharma. not recklessly lead their life like cats and dogs. Okay, if you're attracted to a beautiful woman, become attracted. Fine, get married, take the responsibility, go through your life, but become a devotee. And those who are with you, make them into devotees. That's why everybody has to be a guru. The father is a guru, mother is a guru, husband is a guru, friend is a guru. What to speak of the guru to be a guru? So in Krishna consciousness, everybody must play the role. Or a civilized human society, everybody must become a guru. Meaning, everybody must be a devotee of Krishna and teach those who are subordinate to them how to become a devotee of Krishna. Help them to become engaged in devotion. So, okay. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki, Gaur Premanande.